Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 12th of April, 2017. And today we have returning to Iron Sharpens Iron, a dear old friend going back to the late 1980s, Kenneth R. Samples, philosopher, theologian, former senior research consultant and correspondence editor at the Christian Research Institute, otherwise known as CRI, former co-host of the Bible Answer Man radio broadcast, current senior research scholar at Reasons to Believe, author of Christian Endgame, Seven Truths That Change the World, and more. He is the leader of Reason to Believe's Straight Thinking podcast, host of the Reflections blog. He's a speaker at universities and churches worldwide, a frequent guest on radio programs such as the Frank Sontag Show, Issues, Etc., and Stand to Reason. And by the way, Ken, you've got to get your crack team over at Reasons to Believe to add Iron Sharpens Iron to that list.
And right. That goes at the front of the list.
That's right. And an adjunct professor at Biola University. He's a member of the Evangelical Philosophical Society and the Evangelical Theological Society and the International Society of Christian Apologetics. We are discussing today his book, A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Ken Samples.
Hey, Chris. It's really good to be with you. I really appreciate these times we've had together the last few weeks, and consider it a real privilege to be with you and your audience. And you got a great show, so keep up the good work.
Now, obviously, it would be, I think, weird if I completely glossed something over here. It is actually very providential that you were scheduled to be on the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program today, long before either of us knew of your former colleague, Hank Hanegraaff, converting to Eastern Orthodoxy and being welcomed into membership in a local Eastern Orthodox congregation. It would be kind of weird if I just skipped over that and didn't even mention anything about it. This is something that has been verified. It's not a rumor. It's not gossip. And Hank is going public with it. And by the way, I want to let our listeners know that tomorrow, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries is going to be playing or broadcasting clips of Hank Hanegraaff's own words from the Bible Answer Man over the last 2 days, in which he goes into detail about his conversion. And so one thing, if you know James White, he does not go by hearsay or rumor. He goes by the very words of the people that he critiques or debates. And so he will be taking the very words of Hank Hanegraaff and responding to them tomorrow on The Dividing Line, which is a program that that James White hosts. So you could listen to that. The website for Alpha and Omega Ministries is aomin.org, aomin.org. And you know what you could do? If his show is live during my show, then you could just listen to his show or watch his show, because it's on YouTube, after it's over. You could listen to me live and listen to James afterwards. But we don't ever know. In fact, James doesn't ever know when he is going to do his program. He used to have a set time every week when he did this, when he did The Dividing Line, but he no longer has any set time. So the website again is aomin.org for Alpha and Omega Ministries, and you can find out how to watch The Dividing Line, because it is a YouTube presentation as well as an audio presentation. But you are a former colleague. In fact, I guess you could say you were an employee of Hank Hanegraaff. And I must say that the Bible Answer Man was, for many years, a great blessing to me. It cut my teeth on a lot of controversial issues, perhaps even added to my own desire to be a talk radio host. Although I would never in a million years claim to be a Bible Answer Man. I have Bible Answer Men on my show, like you, but I would never go solo like Hank does, because Hank, although I think he is seriously wrong, Hank is a far more brilliant man than I am. But this news came as quite a bit of a shock to a lot of people, not so much of a shock to others, but let's hear your opinion on this. And I don't even know how long it's been since you actually had personal contact with Hank, but if you could just give us your own reaction to it.
Yeah, Chris, I worked at the Christian Research Institute for 7 years. I was hired during the tenure of Walter Martin. Walter Martin was one of Evangelical's leading scholars in the area of new religious movements, cults, and religious sects. Real expert on Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, etc. I worked with Walter for about 3 years, and Walter died far too young. He was only 60 years old, which seems, now that I'm getting close to that age, seems very, very young. Hank Hanegraaff then became the president of the Christian Research Institute, and I worked under Hank for a couple of years before I left, and was working in my own ministry called Augustine Fellowship.
And yes, I remember that.
Later joining the staff at Reasons to Believe. I share with you a bit of a concern of the title, The Bible Answer Man. In my view, there's only been really one Bible Answer Man, and that was Walter Martin. I think he was an extraordinary individual who had an amazing knowledge of the Bible, and Walter really fired me up. He was really my first Christian teacher. I used to attend his class. I'm probably doing what I do now as a Christian scholar and apologist really because of Walter Martin, and I owe him a great debt of gratitude. Hank was different. I mean, he was not a scholar. Hank was a layperson, and therefore, you know, took the Bible Answer Man more from the point of view of an informed layman.
An informed layman with it would seem to be a photographic memory of Scripture, though. I mean, maybe that's an exaggeration to you, but it seemed to have an uncanny ability to recite Scripture without even looking it up.
Yeah, Hank, before he came to CRI, was involved in a organization, you might even call ministry, that was emphasized memorization, and particularly memorization of Scripture. That's right. Hank is a very bright fellow and has a real passion for Scripture. Hank has changed his views quite a bit, and, you know, I say it with all due respect, I think because Hank was somewhat of a layman that he made changes. I mean, he moved from young earth creationism to old earth creationism, a view that I hold, but he also changed his views on eschatology a couple times. I think he was more dispensational, premillennial, and then became very committed to a strong preterist view. And, you know, had other changes. I mean, he came out of a Reformed background. His father was a Dutch Calvinist, and Hank embraced a more evangelical Arminian, I think, faith.
In fact, Hank was raised in the CRC, the Christian Reformed Church, right?
That's right. I being a Calvinist myself, a card-carrying Calvinist, I used to talk with Hank's father, and, you know, we would talk about the distinctives of the Reformed faith and the contrast in, you know, the Arminian or Wesleyan tradition. You know, was I surprised by it? Yes. Obviously, anytime a major evangelical leader changes his branch of Christendom, you know, that's a significant thing. A few years ago, I had a friend, Frank Beckwith, still remains a friend. Frank was the president of the Evangelical Theological Society and embraced Catholicism. Now, Frank and I both grew up Catholic, but, you know, Frank returned to the Roman Catholic faith. So things like this happen, and they even happen among, you know, high visible evangelical thinkers. But it's not a small thing to move from historic Protestantism to Eastern Orthodoxy. And I would say a couple things. I would say, first of all, that there's some really good books out there that maybe your audience might be interested in. There is, first of all, a book written by an Orthodox scholar that kind of introduces Orthodoxy, and I like it. It's Timothy Ware. I like it because you get it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. But there's also a couple books that critique Eastern Orthodoxy from a Protestant point of view. I like Robert Latham's book. He's a Presbyterian. It's entitled Through Western Eyes, Eastern Orthodoxy, A Reformed Perspective. Latham, I think, is very fair and careful, but lays out the common ground that Protestants have with Orthodox folk, but also points out, you know, some of the critical differences and what's at stake. I like that book very much. Latham is a careful scholar, and he's fair-minded. I like that he talks about common ground as well as differences. There's another book that came out a couple years ago called Three Views on Eastern Orthodoxy and Evangelicalism. I like those kind of books because I like to hear people argue different positions, and I know Michael Horton represents one of those positions, and he is a solid guy from Westminster. You know, Chris, these are you know, critically important issues. I mean, we talk about you know, areas of agreement. We talk about maybe areas of difference, and then we talk about the areas where I think you have, you know, the sharpest focus of difference. And let me just maybe enumerate some of those things. I think the real substantive theological differences found among evangelical Protestants and Eastern Orthodox probably could be enumerated in 5 points. One would be the church's supreme authority. Is it Scripture alone, or is it Scripture and tradition? Two, the specifics of justification by faith. Are we justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? Or does it come through a sacramental grace, through faith in Christ, but then completed in works of loving obedience? The nature of the sacraments, the liturgy, and worship would be a third point. I think the extent of sin and the assurance of salvation is a critical issue between the Eastern Church and Protestant Christianity. And then the fifth would be the veneration of saints and Mary. That is an issue. And you can recognize that some of the differences that an evangelical Protestant will have with Eastern Orthodoxy are also some of the differences that Protestants would have with Roman Catholics. But I do want to make this point, Chris, and I think it's a very important one. And frankly, I think I held this error for a long time. I used to think that Eastern Orthodoxy was just kind of an Eastern version of Catholicism. It's not. It is a distinct branch of Christendom. And there are times, amazingly, where Orthodoxy agrees with Protestants more than with Catholics. So I think it's fair to say most of the time Orthodox and Catholics agree in difference with Protestants. But, you know, it's a big issue. Yes, I used to work with Hank, and in fact, at one point he was my boss. We always had differences.
Were you the only theologically reformed person at the time, at least on the air, with CRI? There may have been other employees there that had behind the scenes jobs, but as far as somebody with a role that had you actually being a part of a public broadcast and so on, were you the only other reformed guy? The only reformed guy at all, I should say.
I think so. There were, you know, after Walter's death, there were a couple of us that kind of were on a panel. Craig Hawkins initially was the person that was doing the Bible Answer Man, and he did it for a couple years after Martin's death. Later, Rob Bowman, Ron Rhodes, myself, Paul Carden were involved in a bit more of a panel approach, and I preferred that because, quite frankly, I wouldn't want anybody to call me the Bible Answer Man. I'm a diligent student of God's Word, but I don't know that I know enough to be considered with that kind of title. Ron Rhodes and Rob Bowman, I would say, were moderately Calvinistic. You know, maybe I don't particularly like to, you know, designate Reformed theology as just the 5 points, but I think that Ron and Rob would have been more moderate. I think I was the most outspoken Reformed person to do the Bible Answer Man.
Yeah, I from my memory, I don't recall Ron Rhodes having much of a affinity with Calvinism, but I may be just misremembering those things.
I think he would say he was maybe a four-pointer, kind of a dispensational, you know, moderately Calvinistic theology.
Right. Well, I don't want to belabor this because this is not our subject for today, and I don't know if you would consider yourself any kind of an expert on Eastern Orthodoxy. You probably know a lot more than I do, though. But the issues that I have heard that would be most clear in setting them apart from Rome or even Protestants is that they are not systematized in their theology in a very clear and concise way. They're, like, for instance, you can very clearly see a sharp contrast between Rome and Protestantism when you go to the Council of Trent and you especially read the anathemas. You can see what they are standing for that would be different in a very clear and 180-degree different way from the Protestant reformers and the heirs of the Protestant reformers who agreed with their forefathers in the faith, who agree today with their forefathers in the faith. So there's a lot more mystery involved, and there is a de-emphasis of the cross with more of an emphasis on the incarnation of Christ when it comes to the atonement. Am I right with that?
Yeah, I would say this, Chris. I would say there are positive features in all the branches of Christendom. I think the positive features in Eastern Orthodoxy is a real continuity with church history, certainly a Trinitarian and incarnational focus. And I think all branches of Christendom have been influenced positively by the councils that, and most of them happened within an Eastern context. And I think you could say positively that the Orthodox they've suffered a lot. They took on Islam. They have suffered from the communists. Yet they remain very dedicated. I think that some of the distinctive features, the filioque, does the Spirit proceed only from the Father or from the Father and the Son? Filioque is a Latin word meaning "and the Son." That's a difference between East and West. The focus on salvation in Eastern Orthodoxy is more Christus Victor rather than justification or penal substitution. That is that Christ has won over against the evil forces of the world. And even scripture and tradition. I mean, this is my thinking on the subject, and informed by some of my reading of Orthodox sources as well as Reformed that evaluate and critique it. I think that when it comes to Scripture and tradition, I think the Roman Catholic Church places tradition above Scripture. So the teaching office is central. Protestants can't interpret Scripture because they don't have the authority to do so and to do so properly. So in my view, the Catholic Church puts tradition above Scripture. The Protestants put Scripture above tradition, and we appropriately think that's so because Scripture is the only Word of God. As valuable as tradition is, it is subordinate to the Word of God. I think the Orthodox put them side by side. And so again, I make the point that while Orthodox would probably on most points agree more with the Roman Church than with the Protestant Church, there are times where they are distinct. And so that's represented in Christus Victor, Filioque, but it's also represented in the use of icons, and various other issues.
Yeah, non-three-dimensional images. That's why you don't see statues and so forth. And of course, they disagree with Rome on the papacy.
That's a great point, yes, and I'm glad you brought it back. I mean, again, there are differences about the authority in terms of the Pope and the patriarchs, and so it's a mistake, and I held that mistake for a long time because I was uninformed. Orthodoxy is a third branch of Christendom with some of their own unique ideas and beliefs.
Right, and obviously the crucial issue that surpasses all is how you are made right with God. And and if Paul the Apostle did not view the Judaizers as just erring brethren or as true brethren with some misunderstandings or some differences, he viewed them as individuals who are to be anathematized, who are accursed. And the only thing that we are aware of from the Scriptures is that they insisted on circumcision when one were to convert to Christianity. We don't see any difference on their view of the deity of Christ. We don't see any difference on their understanding of a triune Godhead. We don't see any differences at all, substantially, other than that issue. So if Paul, the apostle, who was being guided infallibly when he wrote Scripture, when he wrote things that were to be inscripturated, when he brought the God-breathed words of our Lord into print, if he considered the Judaizers as false teachers to be accursed, are we to take the issue of justification by faith alone, through grace alone? By grace alone through faith alone, I should say. Are we to take that any less seriously than the apostle?
Well, you raise, I think, a very important critical point. And again, it relates to the topic of salvation. In Orthodoxy, they approach it from the point of view of deification. They talk about theosis. So the idea that that there's an attainment to the likeness or union with God, whereas Protestants emphasize a judicial element, a justification by faith.
And we separate that from sanctification, because we do believe that the Holy Spirit transforms us, but that's not a basis of our being justified.
That's exactly right. And, you know, and I think that, I think an appropriate way to think through these issues in my mind, Chris, is to say, look, there are real, I would place Eastern Orthodoxy and Roman Catholicism in a different camp than I would Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or Christian Science, largely because this is Christendom that we're dealing with, and regardless of whether we think the Catholics and the Orthodox have moved away from Scripture or moved away from these elements, they do affirm the Trinity, they do affirm the two natures of Christ. There's real historic doctrine that they share in common with us. Nevertheless, you raise a point, and you're very good at putting your finger on it, and I applaud you for it. Paul makes statements, particularly in Galatians, but also in Romans, that talks about salvation by grace through faith alone in Christ, and he talks about the, what's at stake, and what's at stake is, the very gospel, and so these are not small issues. These are not minor issues. I have Orthodox friends, Catholic friends that I like, respect. We have lots of discussion and give and take. My Catholic friends and my Orthodox friends will often say, Ken, I can't say I'm saved. I hope to be saved. And I would say, on the basis of the New Testament, particularly the writings of Paul, but not just Paul, that I have been justified past tense. And from my own Reformed point of view, my understanding of Scripture, my security is in Christ. And so these are very, very important issues. And it's important that there is dialogue, discussion, and debate. I mean, one thing I enjoy about James White is not only is he very good at articulating these ideas, but he's very skilled in bringing these issues out in debate. And so, truth is critically important, I think, to all thoughtful and reflective people. And when a major evangelical leader changes his branch of Christendom, that's a big deal. And so I'm not surprised that this has gotten quite a bit of attention.
Yes, and I would like to know, I'm sure that's probably not monolithic, the answer to this question, but I'd like to know the Eastern Orthodox opinion of Protestants who actually adhere to Reformation principles regarding justification and so forth, and regarding the rejection of veneration of icons and a rejection of veneration of Mary and the saints and so on. I wonder what their opinion of us is. I mean, very often we are the ones, those Protestants, I should say, who are historic Protestants who actually believe confessionally in the doctrines and the watchwords and the pillars and the battle cries of the Reformation. We are the ones that are looked upon as bullies and as bigots. And yet, the Council of Trent, as far as the Church of Rome is concerned, the Council of Trent still stands. They're the ones that anathematized me long before I was born. And an anathema, of course, they have modern Roman Catholic apologists have redefined what that means. They've softened the blow. But let's keep in mind, in the day and age when those anathemas were declared, there were people being tortured to death before being under the anathema if they wouldn't recant those beliefs, if they were in certain positions of public notoriety or whatever. But these are not issues to be glossed over like, well, I prefer not to use incense and pictures on the walls in my church. Yeah. These are far more serious, aren't they?
They are, and in fact, that's one reason I recommend the Orthodox Church book by Timothy Ware. He is a bishop, and he talks about how Orthodox relate to Protestants and to Catholics, and kind of gives you, some insight. I think, Chris, I try to practice what I call the golden rule of apologetics. I try to treat other people's beliefs the way I want mine treated. That is, I try to be very careful about representing the Catholic view, the Orthodox view, because I want them to be careful in representing my view. And I try to read their works so that I can get it from the horse's mouth, so that I can have a greater understanding. And so if some of your listeners are interested in reading a book by an Orthodox theologian who kind of briefly introduces the faith, Timothy Ware's book is readable, and I think it's ecumenical in the sense that there is a real desire to have some kind of dialogue and communication. But your point is it's a critical one. Truth and doctrine should not be small things. And by the way, if I can critique the evangelical world for just a moment, and I do it with respect. I do it with love and humility because I have been part of the evangelical Protestant community for many years, and I know many wonderful Christians. But I think one of the reasons that people convert to Orthodoxy and to Catholicism, Chris, is because evangelicalism has weaknesses. And part of that weaknesses is a tenaciousness of getting down to Christian doctrine.
In fact, I would like to continue that thread a little bit. Of course, we are eventually going to get back to the main reason we scheduled your interview is to discuss a world of difference. But I do want to continue a bit on that thread that you just mentioned about one of the reasons why people are being lured into not only Eastern Orthodoxy, but Rome and some perhaps other religious groups that have their root in the failures of evangelicalism and perhaps even evangelicalism becoming something altogether different than the Reformation and the Reformers ever intended. But I would like to receive questions from you, the listeners. We already have a number of them that have come in. And thankfully, they are not all on the Hank Anagraph. And our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. Don't go away. We will be right back after these messages with Ken Samples.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for A Visit to the Pastor's Study, because everyone needs a pastor.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and if you just tuned us in, our guest today is my dear old friend, over 20 years of friendship that I've had with Kenneth R. Samples, and he is going to be eventually discussing his book, A World of Difference, putting Christian truth claims to the worldview test. But we have been briefly beginning a discussion, we hope to be brief, on the recent conversion of Hank Hanegraaff to Eastern Orthodoxy, and what is, and we are now going to be just discussing a little bit, what is drawing people from evangelicalism into groups like Eastern Orthodoxy and Roman Catholicism. And a lot of it has to do with evangelical. Now, obviously, there could be very wrong reasons why people leave evangelicalism, because of just utter apostasy. They have abandoned truths, biblical truths that are clear, that the Reformers held to, and that the Reformers championed and brought to the surface of Christian life after have been buried for centuries with superstition and ritual and works righteous rules and regulations and so on. In fact, you could convert from Catholicism or Eastern Orthodoxy to evangelical Protestantism for the wrong reason. you might not really be coming to faith in Christ. There may be no actual rebirth in your life. You just like the fact that the church folk are much more gregarious and outgoing and give you a big hug every Sunday, and yet maybe they have potluck lunches there frequently, and you just love that. But what are some of the things lacking in modern evangelicalism that have drawn people from evangelicalism into the arms of Rome and Eastern Orthodoxy and other groups, in your opinion?
Yeah, again, I think that this is an important question, Chris. And my criticism of the evangelicalism is not motivated by being harsh. It is merely that I think that Catholicism and Orthodoxy are attractive to particular evangelicals who see weaknesses. And, this is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. In October, they'll celebrate 1517, Luther nailing the 95 Theses on the church Wittenberg door. I think that for a long time after Luther and Calvin and the Protestant reformers, I think that the word evangelical by and large meant Protestant. To be an evangelical was to affirm the great truths of the Protestant Reformation, the great solas, Scripture is the supreme authority, justification by faith, sola fide, sola gratia, sola Deo gloria. These were deeply connected within the evangelical world. And so evangelical comes from the Greek word euangelion, meaning gospel-centered. However, I think evangelicalism is far less connected to the Reformation today. I think it is it's very diverse. In fact, there are times where I'm not sure what the word evangelical means.
By the way, Ken, you may be shocked to hear this, or maybe you wouldn't be shocked. When I organized my very, well, actually, it wasn't my first debate that I organized, but it was among the first of the Catholic debates that I organized. One of them was on Sola Scriptura. And when I went to a local evangelical church with posters that the pastor had agreed beforehand to allow me to bring there so he could hang them up and promote the event, the pastor of this evangelical church looked at the sign and said, "Sola Scriptura." What does that mean?
Well, that sums up some of the problem. I mean, look, Chris, I think some evangelicals become attracted to the Orthodox tradition and the Roman Catholic tradition because evangelicals often don't have a solid continuity with church history, church councils, church creeds. I think some people feel in their evangelical world that they don't have a deep continuity with Christian history. I think also there are evangelicals at times that don't have a strong Trinitarian focus or incarnational focus. And say whatever you will in criticism of the Eastern Orthodox Church, but they have a strong focus on the importance of the Trinity and the Incarnation. I would also say that you know, there are people that they go to a church and they don't feel like there is a depth to the worship, to the taking of the Lord's Supper, baptism. I think some people are attracted to these more liturgical branches of Christendom because they feel that there is a depth. And I might say this, and again, I don't say this because I want to beat up on my own tradition, because I do consider myself Protestant. I do consider myself an evangelical. My theological orientation is Reformed. I prefer the Anglican side of that. But I will tell you this, Chris, I think there are times the evangelical world does not emphasize the life of the mind, the life of study, the importance of doctrine, and this is hurting our tradition. I don't think we're ready to collapse, but, you know, some parts of Protestantism, I think, are stronger in these areas that I've mentioned. I think the Lutheran, the Reformed, the Anglican, parts of the Baptist tradition, I think, are very strong in emphasizing the elements of the Reformation. And I think there will be people who will continue to move to, they'll swim across the Tiber to Rome, or they'll go back to the eastern part of the world, to Athens or other areas that have been central to Orthodoxy. And so maybe a good thing about all of this is that the branches of Christendom tend to challenge each other. And that challenge is not always a bad thing. Quite frankly, I learn a lot when I hear some of these Protestant, Catholics, Eastern Orthodox debates. I appreciate them, and I appreciate the people that are very skilled in doing it. And as I mentioned, James White is one person that I always enjoy listening to.
Yes, and one thing that I know, just because of my own personal experience having conversations and friendly disagreements, and sometimes heated disagreements, with friends of mine, primarily those who have become Roman Catholic, because I don't know that many Eastern Orthodox individuals, at least at any in any meaningful way. I guess I should change that. But there is an attraction to the idea that Protestantism is wrong and Rome is true, and perhaps even Eastern Orthodoxy is true, because of their connection with the ancient church. But the mistake they're making, at least in those cases, is that ancient isn't always ancient enough, number one, and heresies can be ancient. There are heresies that were brought up in the scriptures that were cropping up in the church while the apostles were still writing what would eventually be canon. And so to think something is bona fide as being the real article, genuine, true, and so on, just because it's ancient, that does not put a seal of approval on anything. And in fact, I think that's a mistake that some of our brethren in the fundamentalist circles have. They wouldn't use the terms ancient necessarily, but they would talk about good old time religion. And they think that the modern evangelicals are wrong because they don't go back to the good old days, and the good old days for the fundamentalists very often don't go any further back before the 1800s. And they think that the roots of dispensationalism and so on is the good old religion, but that's, you know, about less than 200 years, you know. So, number one, as I said, old isn't always old enough, and number two, old is not a seal of biblical orthodoxy, pardon the pun.
I think you make a very important point, and that is that the Orthodox tradition and the Catholic tradition consistently emphasize that they are early and they are the original, and that Protestantism is kind of a Johnny-come-lately, late in coming to the party, so to speak. But the real question there is not whether we have a connection to church history. And don't get me wrong, I think church history is critical, and I think that, frankly, Protestants, evangelicals, can learn about the importance of church history from the other branches of Christendom. But the question is, what was the apostolic teaching? And, quite frankly, Luther and Calvin were Catholics, and they came to a position where they were convinced by the reading, studying, and reflection upon Scripture and church history that the church had departed from the apostles' teaching at some critical juncture.
And even the patristics, even the teachings of the fathers.
And that's right. You make a very important point, and it's not a small point at all. Heresy begins very early. I mean, Docetism, Gnosticism, Pelagianism, these very brutal Arianism, these heresies that can make waste of a person's faith begin very early. I think that, going back to the councils, going back to ancient Christianity is always a beneficial thing. But the question is, if Scripture is the supreme authority, then it judges even councils. It judges even church traditions. And So, while it's true that people sometimes leave evangelical Protestantism and become Orthodox or become Catholic, it's also true that many people have left the Orthodox and Catholic traditions and become Protestant, and you and I are two of those people. We grew up Catholic, but because of our study of Scripture and because of our deep belief in, the person of Christ and what he did on the cross, we were persuaded to become Protestant. So it's important to keep that in mind.
And I might add, and because of a miracle of the Holy Spirit in our hearts.
Absolutely, yeah, that's right. Our faith is Trinitarian, and the Spirit is the ultimate evangelist.
Well, we are going to come back from the break. This is our midway break. Our break that's a bit longer to keep our program in alignment with Grace Life Radio 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, who needs our program in a certain format. So we're going to be going to our midway break right now, and when we return, we are going to be discussing A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test by our guest, Kenneth Richard Samples. If you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and we do have folks already waiting patiently. I hope you're waiting patiently to have your questions asked and answered, and we will get to you one by one as soon as we can. And we look forward to hearing from more of you and your questions for Ken Samples when we return. Our email address again is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. If you live outside of the USA, I would absolutely love to hear from anybody either who is Eastern Orthodox or agrees with the move that Hank Hanegraaff has made. Maybe you're celebrating with him that he did this. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from you if you defend his decision, even if you're a Protestant. I don't only want people who agree with us to join us on the air with questions, although I hope that eventually everybody agrees with us. As far as the show is concerned, I want to have some give and take with even people who disagree. We'll be right back, God willing, with more of Ken Samples right after these messages, so don't go away.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Thrive and Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community.
This trial includes biweekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your world trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wmg.org/ironsharpens today.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750. That's 508-528-5750. Or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at Providence Baptist Church, ma.org. That's Providence Baptist Church, ma.org. Or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie.com. 540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Kenneth Richard Samples, and we are going to be discussing his book, A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test. And before I go back to our discussion, I want to remind our listeners that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is in urgent need of new benefactors and advertisers. If you have a church, a parachurch ministry, a business, a corporation, or anything else that you want to advertise that is in harmony with the theology and worldview of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and you want to get in contact with me to find out how that is done, email me at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. Perhaps it's just a special event that you're having. You can advertise that as well, as long as it's within as long as it reflects in some significant way the theology and worldview of this program. And those of you who want to just donate, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click on support, and you'll have an address where you can mail a check of any amount, where you can make a check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio of any amount and mail it to that address that you see when you click on support. Checks may be made to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio or Cruciform Media. Cruciform Media is also an acceptable way to make out your checks. And this is really a financially scary time in the history of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So we urge you, if you really want us to keep airing this program, and you can, if you're financially capable of donating, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com and click support. And once again, never deprive your local church of any of your giving to them. I never want you to do that. I don't want you to give anything less to them because you want to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And obviously, do not ever deprive your family if you are struggling to even provide for your own home. I would not want to take any of that money. I'm speaking to those of you who are blessed enough to add that third element to your giving, and that would be to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I appreciate those who have already done so from the bottom of my heart, and some of you even multiple times, and I cannot thank you enough. I cannot even come up with the words in English language to thank you. And please also always pray for this program. And also, don't forget that there are a couple of events coming up that I hope that many of you will attend. We have coming up right here in Pennsylvania, the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology, where Iron Sharpens Iron Radio will have an exhibitor's booth. And thanks to our friends at the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals, the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology is going to be held April 28th through the 30th at Proclamation Presbyterian Church in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, which is a suburb of Philadelphia. And speakers include Daniel Dariani, Richard Phillips, and Carl Truman. For more details, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org. The theme of this conference is Reformation, Recovering the Essence of the Gospel. Once again, that's April 28th through the 30th. And then also, overlapping that, so you got to pick one that you're either closer to or that you want to attend more. But my dear friends at New York Apologetics, Anthony Uvinio and his colleague Nick Mitchell, they are having their New York Apologetics Conference. Dare to Defend is the title of that conference series that they're having. This is one of the conferences in that series, and the theme is Will You Survive the Culture? Participants include Greg Kokel, who, by the way, Ken Samples. Greg Kokel spoke very highly of you very recently on my program. Greg Kokel of Stand to Reason, and Frank Turek and Mary Jo Sharp are the three speakers at this conference, and that will be held Friday, April 28th, 7 to 9 p.m., and Saturday, April 29th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Smithtown Christian School in Suffolk County, Long Island. If you want more information, go to newyorkapologetics.com, newyorkapologetics.com. And if you go to any of these events, please always make sure that you let the folks know that are running the conference that you heard about it through Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And last but not least, if you are a pastor, we hope that you attend the United States Ministers Conference that the Banner of Truth is conducting in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, and specifically at the Elizabethtown College. The Banner of Truth is well known as being a ministry that publishes some of the very finest of Reformed works from the past and present. They're probably even more well known for the treasures from the past that they have brought back into print. And they have this conference that's coming up. And any church leader, I believe, qualifies for this event May 30th through June 1st. Speakers include Dr. Joel Beakey, Jeff Thomas, William Vanderward, Mark Johnston, Jonathan Master, Carlton Wynn, and Ian Hamilton. And over half of those speakers have been guests on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, some of them multiple times. And for more details on registering for the Banner of Truth United States Ministers Conference, go to banneroftruth.org. That's banneroftruth.org. Click on events and then click on the U.S. Ministers Conference, because they also have conferences in the U.K. And since, of course, we do have listeners in the U.K., if you want to go to one of those conferences, click on the U.K. Ministers Conference, and they have four of them listed in different parts of the United Kingdom. So whatever area that you live in fact, they even have an Australian Banner Conference held every 2 years. But we hope that you will mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio whenever you go to any of these conferences, if you do. And I hope to see you at not only the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology, but also at the Banner of Truth U.S. Ministers Conference. Now, we are back to discuss with Ken Samples his book, A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test. And Ken, please give us a definition of what you mean and what Christian theologians and philosophers mean by the term worldview.
Yeah, very important topic. There is a German word, Weltanschauung, of which our English word worldview is derived. And the way to think about a worldview is that it's your big picture view of reality. It's a grand narrative. That is, it's your story about the meaning of life, the meaning of the world. And everybody has a worldview. Some are more detailed. Some are more rational than others. But all of us look at the world. We try to make sense of life and the human condition within it. So that's the meaning of the word worldview. Another way of thinking about it is it's our view of the world and life.
And let me just read a couple of commendations for this book you have written. Kim Riddlebarger, who will be familiar to many of our listeners who listen to the White Horse Inn radio program hosted by Dr. Michael Horton and Kim Riddlebarger and Ken Jones and Rod Rosenblatt. The endorsement that Kim has written is, "One of my biggest concerns for Christians struggling to make their way through the intellectual challenges of our age is that they often don't have the basic categories to think biblically about their own faith. Ken Samples' A World of Difference will give them those categories." J.P. Moreland, distinguished professor of philosophy at Biola University, says, "With compelling insight into scripture, history, science, and theology, A World of Difference will challenge and strengthen your beliefs. Christians can no longer afford to be ignorant of how to think and see the world in light of their worldview and alternative worldviews. A World of Difference is the right book at the right time." So we hope that if you don't win a book today, that you will eventually purchase this book from Reasons to Believe. But let me go to a couple of our listener questions that are relevant to our subject. For those of you, remember, if you want to know more about the Hank Hanegraaff conversion to Eastern Orthodoxy, listen to Dr. James R. White's Dividing Line broadcast, which you can listen to or watch on YouTube tomorrow. He never knows when he is going to do that program, typically until the day that he does it. But you could go to aomin.org to find out. A-O for Alpha and Omega, M-I-N for ministries.org. A-O-M-I-N.org. That's A-O-M-I-N.org. And that's tomorrow. James will give a thorough critique of Hank's conversion in Hank's own words, because he is going to be airing the relevant broadcasts that have been very recently aired on the Bible Answer Man, where Hank in his own words describes why he converted. But we have Joe in Slovenia, who says, "Dear Brother Chris, thanks so very much for having Brother Ken Samples addressing this most important topic for our edification. I'm very interested in the criteria or indicators that were used to reach the conclusions of the recent Barna research, which indicates that less than 1 in 10 evangelical Christians hold a biblical worldview. What are those elements of the Christian worldview that 1 in 10 evangelical Christians are missing or mistaken about? Thanks again for your commitment to sharpening us daily." Well, I think that's a very good question to start the ball rolling with your book.
Yeah, I appreciate Joe. I remember some of his questions he's asked previously. You know, Chris, some of these studies that have come out, either by the Barna Group or by the Pew Report, that kind of look at Christians broadly or evangelical Christians particularly, sometimes are quite concerning. And, you know, we've heard over the last number of years, the many young people who grow up in the evangelical faith go away to college and walk away from the faith. In my book, A World of Difference, I talk about a Barna survey in which he insists, and Barna is himself, identifies himself as an evangelical Christian. He says that, you know, maybe as low as 1 out of 10 evangelicals actually hold a Christian worldview, a biblically oriented worldview. And what we mean by that is, you know, a worldview is made up of a cluster of really important beliefs: your view of God, your view of the universe or the cosmos, your view of human beings, your view of knowledge, your view of values and morality. Barna would insist that the evangelical church falls down in many respects on that, and I alluded to that earlier. I think of Yaroslav Pelikan, who was the great historian of Christianity at Yale. Interestingly, for today's topic, Pelikan was a Missouri Synod Lutheran for much of his life, late in life converted to Eastern Orthodoxy. His quotation in one of his most important books on the history of Christianity, he says, the church is always more than a school. And of course it is. It's a place we worship. It's a place we receive the Lord's Supper. It's a place we fellowship. But here's Pelikan's line. The church is always more than a school, but it can't be less than a school. I think that our evangelical churches are less than schools. The church should be a place where there's a lot of learning going on, learning about the Bible, learning about the Christian worldview, learning about how Christianity differs from atheistic naturalism or Islamic theism or pantheistic Hinduism. And that's the critical idea. What's your view of God? How do you view the universe? What's your view of morality? How do people know things? And then, of course, unpackaging our view of God gets into our theology, our view of the Trinity, our view of Christ as the divine human Savior, and ultimately to our view of salvation. So Barna raises concern, and that's why I wrote the book. I want to put a book in the hands of my evangelical Christian friends that will help them understand, here's what a worldview is, here's how we evaluate them, here's how the Christian worldview differs from the competitors in the marketplace of ideas.
That might interest you to know, Ken. I mean, you may know this already, but it's interesting that Yaroslav Pelikan, who went from Lutheran to Eastern Orthodoxy, he also had a book that he was clearly indicating that church history proves my understanding of baptism being a Reformed Baptist. He seemed to be admitting very clearly from his historic resources that the early practice of baptism was the immersion in water of believers. But anyway, just such a little trivia that I thought I'd throw.
I would also tell you, Chris, interestingly enough, Pelikan, when he was a Lutheran theologian, wrote a book in 1960 entitled The Riddle of Roman Catholicism.
Yeah.
I think that is a powerful critique of the Catholic Church, and some of the implications in there would apply to Orthodoxy. It is a, when I debate Catholics, I often quote Pelikan's critique of Catholicism.
Yeah, in fact, when I first started to organize the Catholic-Protestant debates with Dr. James R. White, I remember purchasing a used copy of that book because it was out of print. But by the way, thank you, Joe in Slovenia, and you have won a free copy of A World of Difference by Kenneth Richard Samples, Compliments of Reasons to Believe, and also compliments of our friends at the Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for BibleBookService.com. So have your daughter, that was a real revelation of my New York background. Your daughter? I don't even know how that came out of my mouth. Have your daughter keep her eye open in the mail for that, because I know that you have gracefully given us an American address to have that book shipped, to spare Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service of the enormous shipping costs overseas. So keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron and keep spreading the word about our program in Slovenia. We have Daniel in Bakersfield, California. How does your guest define a biblical worldview? Well, we already did that. And how would he compare it to that of an atheist or an agnostic worldview? I've heard certain atheists and agnostics say they have no worldview. Well, nobody can have no worldview. But in fact, I'm sure you would agree, Ken, you cannot pigeonhole a worldview onto an atheist or an agnostic, because they are quite a diverse group of people.
It's true. You know, First of all, atheism and agnosticism are not worldviews. They're denials or affirmations of doubt about the existence of God. The worldview that stands behind atheism is what we call naturalism, and it's the view that the natural physical universe is the only reality. There's no God, there's no supernatural, no angels, no souls. So naturalism would be the worldview. You know, Daniel has raised a very good question. An important part of my worldview book, A World of Difference, is to introduce some ways of testing worldviews. I mean, you know, Scripture talks about testing things. The book of Acts, it says that the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians. Why? Because they opened up the Hebrew Bible and checked to see if what Paul was saying was true. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, 5:21, test all things, hold on to that which is good. John says that don't believe things too quickly, but, you know, test them, evaluate doctrine. In my book, I talk about 9 worldview tests. Now, not all 9 are as important as particular ones, but here's a couple worldview tests that I think are very critical. The first one, and I think it really is the most important, is what I would call the coherence test. Is a particular worldview logically consistent? I mean, in the Reformed tradition, we have an approach to apologetics we call presuppositionalism, tied to people like Cornelius Van Til, and represented by Greg Bonson, who is a friend of mine, and John Frame, who is a friend of mine. They will often say that, you know, the naturalist worldview or the pantheistic worldview, that it is not coherent, that it not only is not logically consistent, but it doesn't provide a basis for reason and logic and rationality. So if you fail the coherence test, then your worldview is dead. Now, if it passes, then we can begin to ask some other questions that are important. Another worldview test is what I would call the explanatory power and scope test. So how well does a worldview explain the facts of reality, and how wide is its range of explanation? We call that scope. So, I mean, one of the things that I think Christianity has going for it very strongly is that Christianity has a lot of explanatory power. It explains, you know, human beings, I think, incredibly well, that humans are kind of this enigma of greatness and wretchedness, as the scientist Blaise Pascal said. We're great because we're made in the image of God, but wretched because of our fallenness. Christianity can explain things like why the world is here and why it is complex, and it can explain things like science and logic. So these are some of the worldview tests that we can appropriately apply, and competing worldviews like atheistic naturalism or Eastern pantheism that you would find in some forms of Hinduism and Buddhism, they have a hard time kind of fulfilling or passing these kinds of tests.
And of course, what I meant before about not being able to pigeonhole atheists and agnostics with worldviews is because very often they are very inconsistent with that claim of atheism or agnosticism, and they very often wind up borrowing elements of the worldview of Christianity and others, perhaps, but probably primarily Christianity, or at least Judeo-Christian worldview, because of their adoption of a moral code, which is absurd for an atheist or an agnostic to have any kind of sense of morality. And you even have Christopher Hitchens, the late Christopher Hitchens, who was pro-life, and he actually abandoned the liberal philosophies that he once adhered to. In fact, he was a Marxist at one time, and developed an ideology that was far closer to political conservatism than liberalism, even though he was an atheist. They're not all alike. You, for instance, you have atheists who believe there's no way that anyone would have any right to impose heterosexual moral ethics upon anyone else. And there are atheists who believe that homosexuality is at odds with the whole Darwinian concept of survival of the species. You know, because that's a, that's an obvious reason why that would be true. So you really can't, there is a multitude of different opinions amongst even those two categories of understanding.
And I think what we find, Chris, what I have found in reading, talking with atheistic naturalists, debating them, is they have a real hard time in their godless worldview of explaining things like reason and rationality, as you mentioned, morality, objective morality, and ultimate meaning to life. But if God exists, and if Christianity is true, things like reason and morality and meaning are expected features in a world made by God. And so, again, this is kind of the focus of my book, of saying, look, how do we, what is the basis of the Christian worldview? What are the features of the Christian worldview? And then how do we fairly understand what other people think, and how do we carefully evaluate them?
Daniel, you have also won a free copy of A World of Difference by Kenneth Richard Samples, and thank you very much for contributing your question to today's discussion. Keep your eye out in the mail for a package from CVBBS.com. That's CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for Bible Book Service.com, CVBBS.com. And keep spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron in Bakersfield, California and beyond. Thank you very much for contributing to the program. We are going to a break right now, and perhaps I will read the question before we go to our final break, because it's fairly lengthy. In fact, what I will do is I'll not only read this to you now, but I'll email you our listener's question. So you could actually read it when we're during a break here. Jerry in Charlestown, New Hampshire says, do you think it is fair to say that having a healthy fear of the Lord is the essential starting point for a biblical worldview? It would seem plausible to think so, with the numerous quotes in Proverbs that state that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Additionally, it would seem that whatever biblical knowledge one would gain of the world, if it is not rooted in the fear of the Lord, it will not be marked by humility, worship, or dependence upon God's word. Do you think this is a fair assessment? And if so, what practical steps can we take to cultivate a fear of the Lord in the American evangelical church? And in fact, I'd like to even broaden that to the church globally, since we have listeners everywhere in the world in the Iron Sharpens Iron audience. So thank you, Jerry. We'll have Ken answer that when we return from the break, and I'm going to actually forward this email to Ken. But if anybody else would like to join us on the air with a question for Ken Samples, now is the time to do it, because we're running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages with our guest, Ken Samples, and your questions, if you have any. And my computer switched off the area that I have to play these commercials. I'm sorry. Here it's back again. The wonders of live radio. But anyway, we'll be right back after these messages, so don't go away.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries. Go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are 4 ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest for the last 90 minutes and the following half hour has been and will continue to be Kenneth R. Samples. We are discussing his book, A World of Difference. And if you have any questions, now is the time to send them, because we're running out of time. And our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And we have Jerry in Charlestown, New Hampshire, who says, "Do you think it is fair to say that having a healthy fear of the Lord is the essential starting point for a biblical worldview?" And of course, he asks other things that you have right in front of you in the email.
Yeah. Very good question, and I like the direction Jerry takes this question. You know, I would say this, that, you know, the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, you know, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, they often emphasize this fear of the Lord element, fear, the reverence, respect for God, and I think that all of that comes out when we begin to embrace a biblically based theology where God's nature and attributes and qualities and personhood are revealed to us. And so God possesses all knowledge, all power, is everywhere present. God is holy, he's just, good, wise, sovereign. And, of course, part of that justice and love is God's wrath. And so I certainly think that developing an understanding of God, a reverence for God, and a fear of God. I mean, most people who speak lightly about things like death and the afterlife or sin have not given careful consideration to the holiness of God and to the wrath of God. So, Jerry, I would say I think a way of kind of helping to develop fear and reverence for God is through teaching, particularly, you know, the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, but also really unpackaging God. And I'll tell you this, in Islam, Islam does not emphasize the quality of Allah's attributes and personhood. They emphasize his law, what he wants, what he demands. Whereas in Jewish and Christian theology, they unpackage the idea of who is this God? What qualities does he possess? So doctrine and theology are very good at helping Christians develop character virtue. Can't separate what's true from your moral life, and so theology and doctrine really count.
Well, thank you, Jerry, for the excellent question. And you have also won a free copy of A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test by Kenneth Richard Samples, Compliments of Reasons to Believe, and also compliments of our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. So keep your eye open in the mail for a package from cvbbs.com, CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for BibleBookService.com. And we thank Patty and Todd Jennings, owner of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, for their loyal support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And by the way, Jerry, I want to thank you personally for the donation that you recently mailed us here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I cannot thank you enough for the generosity for sending that gift. Thank you very much for that. And thank you very much for being a regular listener of Iron Sharpens Iron. We have Casey, who is originally from the Philippines and now lives in Kannapolis, North Carolina. And he says, are atheism and Islam the two biggest worldview battles that Western Christians need to be equipped to debunk at this time in history? Or are there other religions and worldviews that are slipping into society that haven't been confronted as much?
Well, that's a great question. I really appreciate that question. I would say this, Casey, that naturalism, again, the secular worldview that is the foundation for an atheistic perspective, I think in the Western world, in Western Europe and in North America, naturalism is very strong, particularly in the academy, the university system. Lots of intellectuals have, for various reasons, gravitated toward a secular, naturalistic worldview. Of course, we know that Islam has a very big influence. By most estimates, it is the fastest growing of the world's religions. In fact, the Pew Report said a couple years ago that if trends continue, by 2050, there'll be approximately 9 billion people in the world, 3 billion Christian, 3 billion Muslim, and 3 billion others. So Islam, which is a form of theism, is a major competitor. I would add to that Eastern mysticism, in which you have Hinduism and Buddhism. They are not a small element, may not be as influential in the West as it is in the Eastern part of the world, but, you know, you have New Age ideas that reflect that. And I guess I would say, and this is not a worldview, but I think I'll put it into a worldview context. I think kind of a postmodern perspective, that is, the truth is relative, that morality is relative, that we cannot have a certainty in our beliefs. I think that reflects a very important kind of cultural element. So putting them together, naturalism, Islamic theism, Eastern mystical pantheism, and then kind of a secular relativistic form of postmodernism, I think are biggest competitors in what I call the marketplace of worldview ideas.
Thank you very much, Casey, and you have also won a free copy of A World of Difference by Ken Sample, so keep your eye open in the mail for that package from cvbbs.com, CV for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service.com. One thing that Casey's question made me think of is that the church perhaps has an even greater foe to confront, and that is the global sin plaguing humanity, and that is the sin of pride, the sin of self-righteousness, the sin of apathy, because there are many people, when they see the atrocities, the nightmarish, blood-curdling, disgusting bloodlust of Islam being displayed on our TV and computer screens daily and in the pages of magazines and newspapers with the acts of terrorists. It is obvious from watching, you know, news programming and so on, that humanity is lulled into a false sense of righteousness because they think, well, I'm not like that. I must be pretty good. I mean, I must not really have anything to worry about when I die because I've never even hit anyone. I've never even slapped or punched or kicked anyone or shoved anyone, let alone cut their head off or tortured them. So therefore, you know, those are the real evil people that we all have to be concerned about. In fact, we don't even have to really care about where they spend eternity. Let them go to hell, but we have to be worried about them attacking our citizens, and we have to be worried about our own personal lives in regard to those people. But we, as citizens of America or any other country in the world, we are really good people at heart, and we really have nothing to fear from any kind of a wrathful God. Isn't this the kind of thing that very often happens when you have overt, grotesque immorality and evil active in the world, and people compare themselves to that rather than to Christ?
I think you hit it on the head, Chris. In teaching courses in the world's religions, comparative religions at Biola University, I often make the point that there is what we call the religion of the natural man. You know, I'm not as good as Mother Teresa, but I'm not as bad as Osama bin Laden, so God's going to cut me some grace because, you know, I'm on the curve. I'm not that bad, so I should be okay. You see that in Islam. You see it in Zoroastrianism, in Judaism. Interestingly, though, you see it in Christendom. I grew up Catholic, and we kind of thought that way. You know, not as bad as Hitler and Stalin and Mussolini. Certainly I'm not as good as, you know, St. Augustine or St. Thomas Aquinas, so maybe I'm in the middle and I'll be okay. Hell is only a place for the really terrible, you know, mass murderers. It's reflected, I think, at times in all institutional branches of Christendom. I've known Eastern Orthodox who feel that way. I've known Protestants who speak that way. Rather than recognizing that we are fallen, we are broken human beings, we are commandment breakers, we have missed the mark, sin has blinded us, we are in rebellion to God, we don't need a prophet to point a way to being a better person, we need a savior. We need salvation, which can only come through the life, death, and resurrection of the person of Jesus Christ. And so, yes, this is a big challenge. I call it the religion of the natural man. I'm not as good as one of the saints, not as bad as the mass murderer. So God's going to cut me some slack, and I'll be okay in the afterworld, rather than recognizing that God is a perfect, holy, and just being who knows everything about you. And, you know, there's only one word that should be on your lips. God, give me grace. Give me grace. And he does in the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Christians have to be very careful, or should I say people really have to be very careful about not confusing a sense of common decency and morality and perhaps conservative political views with Christianity and with having a new life in Christ. There are people that are so enamored with political figures that are conservative and perhaps conservative pundits and talk show hosts that they will Christianize them. They will think that these people, whether they are nominal Catholics or Mormons, they will just, well, they're going to be okay. They're really one of us. They're really Christians because they fight in public against unpopular causes, against liberalism and so on. So they're really our brothers, even if they don't realize it. Now that's a very dangerous mindset, isn't it?
Absolutely. There's a Jewish talk show host here in California, but his show is all over the United States, Dennis Prager. And I like Dennis. Dennis is a religious Jew, politically quite conservative. I've been on his show a couple times. Used to do a program called Religion on the Line. But Dennis will sometimes say there are two types of people in the world, decent and indecent. Well, I would say, look, there are people that strive to be moral and some who don't strive at all. But in a biblical sense, we are all indecent. We have all broken the commandments of God, and we need grace. And, you know, thinking that you're going to get graded on the curve because you're not as bad as Osama bin Laden or, you know, some of the tyrants of history is a dangerous mindset.
Amen. And by the way, Dennis Prager was on, he may still be on, a network I used to work for. And Dennis, when he was first being added to the lineup of that network that identified itself as Christian, he came to a sales meeting that we had, and he was saying, you know, you may be wondering why I, a Jew, want to be on this Christian station. And many of my friends were saying, Dennis, why on earth do you want to be on a Christian network? They're going to try to convert you, for crying out loud. And he said, nothing could be further from the truth. I was assured by those leaders in this corporation that I have nothing to worry about because they want me to remain a Jew because there are so few Jews in the political arena standing for conservative values. And they think that I do more of a benefit remaining a Jew than converting to Christianity. I sat there in astonishment, and perhaps it was cowardice because I knew I would lose my job instantly, but I wanted to say, you mean they're more concerned about politics than your never-dying soul, or they're more concerned about our ratings than your never-dying soul? I mean, that was an astonishing thing to me. Dennis thought it was wonderful. I thought it was horrific.
Yeah, well, that's a powerful point. I mean, I think that Christians at times need to be careful about putting politics on the level of, you know, the ultimate issues. And I like Dennis Prager. I agree with much of his political viewpoints, but I've had conversations where we've talked about the differences between Judaism and Christianity, and you know, I would love and I pray that he will embrace the Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ.
Amen. We have our last winner of a book today. Aaron in Indianapolis, Indiana. Aaron, one of my listeners who was so helpful to me in my trip to Indianapolis recently when I went to the Gospel Coalition Conference, which was a conference filled with many conflicting emotions. There were some phenomenal, inspiring, biblical, challenging, powerful messages. There were things that were said that were disturbing to me. And of course, there was horrible fatigue in the travel there because I made the mistake of taking Amtrak, not knowing that there was going to be a lengthy portion on a bus. So I have mixed emotions about my trip there. But Aaron actually was the one who was able to find a ticket for me to the Gospel Coalition Conference after it was sold out. And I thank her very much for her graciousness and generosity and diligence and perseverance in finding that ticket for me. But Aaron, she says, is postmodernism a worldview? And would you say that It is the popular worldview of millennials. They are coming into the workplace, and it makes a difference in the marketplace, to say nothing of their spirituality. Thanks for another great discussion today, Chris.
That's a great question. I appreciate Aaron's raising that. Postmodernism is a worldview, but I think it's helpful to appreciate that there is a secular postmodernism that is critical not only of religion, but is critical of kind of a modernistic, over-optimistic kind of scientific orientation. So you can be postmodern and be non-religious, but there are also religious people that have adopted certain elements of postmodernism. Some Christians would identify themselves as Christian postmodernists. I am very critical of the secular variety and, quite frankly, critical of some of the Christian orientation. But Aaron, I think you're right. I think that a good bit of our millennial generation, particularly in the Western world, have adopted kind of a postmodern mindset. And I have a chapter devoted to it. You know, at the end of the book, I look at atheistic naturalism. I look at secular postmodernism, Eastern pantheism, and Islamic theism. So that chapter there might be helpful to you as you think through what postmodernism is and some of the challenges that we have with it.
Well, thank you, Aaron. And you've won the last copy that we have to give away of A World of Difference by our guest, Ken Samples. So keep your eye open in the mail for a package from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, cvbbs.com. And I really would like you to summarize in about 3 minutes or so what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today about this topic. And obviously, although we have you scheduled on another book on April 25th, we can always in the future have you back to delve into the depths, I should say, of this book, because it's quite a very reasonably sized book with a lot of the material in it. But if you could summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners.
Yeah, Chris, first let me say you're very kind and gracious and generous to me to, you know, take 2 full hours, and you've done it a number of times. So I want you to know how much I appreciate that and how fond I am of you and how I often think about your lovely wife, who was very friendly and gracious to me. I wrote A World of Difference because I think that it's important to think about the most important issues of life. You know, philosophers and theologians emphasize the idea that we need a big picture. We need to have a perspective that looks at all the really important things in life, like God, like the world, morality, values, and the human condition. And so I wrote this book on worldviews to really try to help Christians to think more carefully and more critically. I have sections on what a worldview is, how to evaluate them, the worldview test that we alluded to earlier. I spend a lot of time talking about the Christian worldview. In fact, I take the Apostles' Creed and kind of unpackage it from a worldview perspective. What does it say about God? What does it say about human beings? What does it say about Christ? What about values? A critical value for Christians is being made in the image of God, so we have inherent dignity and moral worth. I also have sections of the book where I look at logic, trying to kind of lay down some principles of logic and learning how to detect faulty ideas that are reflected in logical fallacies and bias forms of thinking. And then the last section of the book where I look at the major worldview competitors and compare it and contrast it with Christianity. So it's a book I use at Biola University when I teach logic and worldviews. And it's been a book that a number of people have told me have been very helpful to them. So I hope your listeners will give it some consideration when they think about, you know, reading good books. And, you know, that's a critical point in its own, that Christians need to pursue the life of the mind. They need to be thoughtful and reflective. And you do a good job of that, Chris. You have great topics. You're well-informed. You have really good guests. And so I hope people will support your program. And, again, I appreciate your generosity in having me on.
My pleasure. And if anybody wants more information about Ken's samples, go to reasons.org, reasons.org. And we look forward to your return on the 25th of April to discuss, without a doubt, answering the 20 toughest faith questions. And I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who wrote in questions of their own. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.